In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. The Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Occasionally I'll be sitting at my desk in my office, perhaps gazing out the window, planning something like a stewardship campaign or a special service or a meeting. And in an idle moment, I will wonder if this is what our Lord meant by service. The concept of service is easily understood. It's doing something. And Christians, as Christians, we believe it is an expression of our faith and in living out of our call to be disciples of Jesus, that we should give some service to our community and within the church. Furthermore, we believe that public service is integral to our democratic society, and to serve others is the hallmark of a Christian society. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Furthermore, we expect those in authority in both church and state to be morally upstanding and good people. We know they are human and make mistakes, and those mistakes are more obvious because they are leaders, but we expect them to lead by example. As Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is expected. So there's always a sense of outrage and disappointment when a politician has an affair or makes money on the side or cheats, and equally when a priest is accused of sexual transgressions or of using church funds for his own benefit. We all share the disappointment both of church and state leaders who transgress, and we're also outraged because we expect them to be better than us. In my 30 years as a priest, I realise the three great temptations for clergy are money, power and sex. And they are, of course, the three that go against what our Lord taught. In today's Gospel, we have a classic example of the temptation of power. James and John wanted the best seats in heaven, and so they asked for them. This question had interesting implications. James and John had been chosen amongst the apostles, who were to be the foundations of the church, reflecting the 12 tribes of Israel. However, James and John viewed the kingdom of God, all they could see was that this glorious Messiah and wonder worker, Jesus, could give them whatever they wanted, and certainly the seats in the kingdom next to him. I've met Christians like that. Because they've made a decision for Christ and believe they are saved, they also believe they will be blessed by Jesus and that he will give them everything they want, from no mortgage problems to a parking space. Who amongst us hasn't prayed for something we wanted, believing that because we are Christians we deserve to get it? Not so in the case of James and John, it seems. And look at Jesus' reply to them. Using images of baptism and sharing a cup, Jesus tells them that yes, they will get something indeed. It's just not what they expected, for they do not know that Jesus will later pray, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So he says they're going to share the same cup, which is, of course, the cup of suffering. So profoundly described in Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant in the first reading today from Isaiah 53. This is a significant turn in this conversation between Jesus and these two apostles. He is telling them that he is not a glorious wonder worker who promises rewards in heaven, but he is the suffering servant who will give his life as a ransom for many. And as suffering servant, he identifies with us, for who amongst us hasn't trod some path of suffering at some time? Who amongst us also, as Jesus says, hasn't been tempted? And because as suffering servant Jesus identifies with us in our humanity, therefore we can identify with him in the same way. So not for us palms of glory, raiments bright, crowns that never fade away, nor thrones next to Jesus. But put in another way, by the letter to the Hebrews in our epistle today, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Hold fast to our confession. Be strong, even when it is not easy. This passage from Hebrews is a link to the meaning of today's gospel. Like James and John, the writer begins this passage by exalting Jesus. And let me paraphrase for you. The Word of God, Jesus, is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. At first sight, it looks like he's talking about Scripture, but the Word of God is Jesus, and so he exalts Jesus. And then we come to the Hebrews' recurring theme. Jesus is our great high priest. His death as the suffering servant of Isaiah was his triumph over death and the fulfillment of his identification with us and all humanity. As the writer says, one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Human like us in every way, but also the Holy Son of God. And so he is both the sacrifice for sin and our great high priest who offers the sacrifice. For Christians, service is our response to this wonderful truth of who Jesus is. It means that we will serve both in his world and in his church, and in his church for two particular reasons. Firstly, so that the name of Jesus is proclaimed and his gospel preached according to the great commission he left us. And secondly, we serve in his church so that in this place our great high priest may present himself to us and the world in the Eucharist, and in doing so build us up as his body in this place called All Saints Church. To be specific, for me to serve our Lord means celebrating Mass and the other sacraments, spending time in prayer, visiting the sick, preaching the gospel, running a parish, and yes, even sitting in my office planning something. Of course, I cannot do it all, and I don't have that many hours in the week to do it perfectly. So service for all of you means also being involved, being regular in worship, your great offering of service, and also contributing to the life of the parish in various ways. Altar guild, hospitality, sidesmen, welcoming, suppers, altar flowers, choir, acolytes, where do I stop? There are so many ways, though of course not all of you have the time nor the inclination to do these things. But what we all do is Sunday by Sunday come to God's altar to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice in service. And so to this week, when we think of stewardship. And above all, stewardship means being a happy member of All Saints, the great service we have to give, for there's nothing more undeserving of Christ than unhappy Christians, and we are a happy church. And also the ordinary jobs within the parish are part of that, that enable all of us to serve and to witness. But ultimately, of course, in this week of stewardship, the focus is on our budget and pledging, because that's the way all of us can follow Jesus' call to serve and make a contribution which is both significant and beautiful. Did Jesus have a typical Episcopal parish in mind when he challenged his followers to serve? I doubt it. But I can tell you, I know of no better way to serve him and to do it here in this wonderful church of All Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.